Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. I'm going to open this morning with Matthew 15, which is captioned in most Bibles with the title, Clean and Unclean. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, Whoever says to his father or mother, Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, Explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Once again, I have the honor and privilege to have Dr. John Swanson, founder of Endurance Ministries, joining me in studio today. And his ministry addresses current cultural affairs in light of the eschatological end times data in God's Word. And when he's in the Pacific Northwest, he has an open microphone with us. So welcome back to the studio, John.
Thank you, Leslie.
You know, I opened this morning with Matthew 15 as it speaks to what I believe is on your heart for our audience today, and that's speaking the truth in tough love. And I know that's hard, but we have to do that. And as I read this passage in preparation, I noticed in the footnotes of the Orthodox study Bible that I was using that it says, Christ shows that the commandment of God cannot be superseded by man's religious traditions.
Amen.
You and I have discussed, you know, many issues in prior programs, many times the misinterpreted by our traditions instead of the Word of God. And so there's the dogmatic pre-tribulation rapture belief. We've talked about relationship is everything. And our program with you on March 1st featured the misrepresenting of Scripture through the appeal of by faith alone, a doctrine in contrast to the explicit statement that we talked about in James 2:14 through 24. Mm-hmm. One is justified by works and not by faith alone, which I loved. So, John, where are we going today?
Leslie, I'd actually like to emphasize your ministry focus, a heart of the Savior. One important quality of his heart in relationship to interaction with his sheep is protective shepherding. And God's sheep sure need his protective arm today.
Amen, they sure do.
Yeah, in a day when deceptions are flourishing. Well, I could address many reoccurring themes in the Word of God which relate to protective shepherding, like godlessness, persecution against God's faithful sheep, personal idolatry and lukewarmness, to name just a few. But today I'd like to touch upon the theme of deception, if I could, Leslie.
Okay, let's go for it.
It says in 2 Timothy 3:4, chapters 3 and 4, have an end time emphasis. That's the context stated in explicitly in the text. Well, 2 Timothy 4 speaks about the rejection of truth in the days prior to the Lord's return. Well, I'm convinced the big picture evolutionary theory is indeed one of those myths today. In fact, we're working with a film producer to bring a film to the greater Portland-Vancouver area this fall on that very topic. But, you know, I'd like to talk about a different myth, an in-house to the church myth, if I could, a deception, if you would. So let me ask you this, Leslie. Let me introduce the topic by asking you a question, if I could, going back to those school days.
Remember
those?
Oh, no, it's test time again.
Amen. Yoo-hoo!
I'm sitting in the back row with my head down. Don't ask me. Don't ask me.
Well, no, that's why I'm asking you. Your head was down. And yeah, okay. No, here's the question that introduces our emphasis on an in-house myth. How are major doctrines typically established as such? For example, if I cast the question in the setting of a local church, say a local church is beginning, it typically creates a constitution and one which includes a doctrinal statement, a doctrinal position. Well, on what grounds, Leslie, is the doctrinal statement formed? Kenya.
Well, you know, Heart of the Savior Ministries is a nonprofit organization, and part of creating Heart of the Savior Ministries was to come up with a vision, mission, values, constitution, bylaws, all of that. Mm-hmm. And certainly it was our endeavor to go strictly by the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I know that there should always be something in one of those doctrinal statements about the resurrection, the atonement by Jesus' blood, something about the Trinity, you know, God is one, God is three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But many times what I have seen in reading others is that there are things in there that are not of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I guess those are the ones that you would be considered as a tradition.
Yes.
Kind of like cutting off the butt of the ham. Oh, why did you do that? Well, because Grandma did. Well, it was because the pan was too small, right? Yeah. It's tradition.
Right, right.
And it gets lost and we begin to believe it. Right?
A very good point, Leslie. And when churches then go to the Word for these answers to these important doctrinal questions, they want to emphasize the explicit statements of the Word, not emphasize and avoid emphasizing the traditions of men, which include interpretations imposed upon the Word that aren't actually in the Word.
Correct.
So that's a concern. And, well, why do I raise it in this setting? Well, many people around the globe are saying we live in unusual days today.
That's putting it kindly.
What does the Word of God say? And many are saying, then they go on to say, we're living in the end times. Well, how do we educate ourselves truthfully? You know, this is Truth Talk Radio. How do we educate ourselves truthfully concerning insights on our very day? Not the future, but what's happening today? And again, God has gifted us with His precious, forever settled in heaven Word, and we have some insight there second to none. But as I consider some of these church doctrinal statements, well, one pastor in my area in the Coeur d'Alene asked me to evaluate his pre-membership class. So he said, be frank with me, John. I said, well, for example, in your eschatological, your end time section, you state this one premise on pre-tribulational rapture, but the two verses that you actually cite in support of that do not teach the pre-trib rapture. So if I could, let me emphasize one of our treasured end time doctrines in many churches today, but one that is not mentioned once in the Word of God. This unsupported doctrine has a name, and I've referenced it, the pre-tribulational rapture of the church.
Please do, because I know that this is a confusing thing to many people, and over the years, I have been in churches where one is pre-trib, one is post-trib, one is, you know, no trib.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No wonder people are confused.
Right. Well, it gets to the important aspect that is explicitly stated in the Word as to preparedness. Jesus Christ said much about our preparing for His return. And that includes the days prior too, because some of these things within those days prior to His return are actually issues that are of eternal consequence, one of which is deception. Jesus says in Matthew 24, the very first thing after asking, what will be the sign of your return and the end of the age? He says, see to it that no one deceives you.
Deceives you.
Many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Leslie, that is a global cultural movement today, the false Christology of the neo-Gnostics, of the old New Age movement and such, and all the way back to the first century. We're seeing a reviving of this that's happening today. So let's be mindful of some of the instruction that the Lord has given us concerning living in our day. And he's given that in his word. But there are traditions within many of our churches that basically say, we'll be out of here for that. Well, wait a minute, it's happening now. Are we prepared? To illustrate our point, Leslie, we bring a challenge to our Christian family in Christ. And we say, we will give $1,000 to anyone who can give us one Bible passage. By the way, from a literal version, there are so many versions out there that there's so much liberty taken with the text. We want to emphasize, we're talking about a literal version of the Bible. The Bible,
like the New King James Version.
New King James, Revised Standard Version, English Standard Version, New American Standard. There's some great literal versions out there. But we're asking for one passage which explicitly teaches the rapture of the church, that it's pre-tribulational in nature. So we talk about the importance of doctrinal statements. Well, our churches go to the Word of God for explicit instruction as to what are these important doctrines? What are the doctrines? And we don't get to these doctrines and establish them on our doctrinal statements because they come from inferred or interpretations that vary. We look to the Word of God for explicit doctrinal truths, and that's what we put into our doctrinal statements. And yet, the pre-tribulational rapture experts tell me that they can't give me one passage that explicitly states the pre-trib rapture. So it's important, Leslie, that the listening audience sees some details about this offer, the ones we've posted online, because there's some terms in this offer that they need to understand our definition of. And they're dictionary definitions. We're just representing the word. But just for clarity's sake, people need to go to www.endmin.com. And on the third frequently asked question page, frequently asked question number 53 has a little link called an open letter. And you just click on that link and that you will see the details about this $1,000 offer that we're making available.
I just think that's amazing. And when you and I talked about this a couple months ago, that this was coming up and that you had this offer out there, I thought, boy, I hope somebody tries to take this one on.
We hope so too, but not for the sake of the dollar drivenness.
No.
We're trying to help the church understand that there's actually not one single passage that affirms, that teaches the pre-trib rapture. So our intent in all this, Leslie, is, well, our Lord Jesus counsels his people to be ready for the days prior to his return. He has given clear and strong, mind you, words of warning to us, things to watch out for during this deceptive age. He's even been specific on aspects of deception. Yet this unevidenced pre-trib doctrine within so many of our churches today is contributing to a mindset in direct opposition to what Jesus Christ has called his people to, and that is preparedness, discerning the day, watchfulness.
Watchfulness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, can I touch upon one other thing before we head into the closing minutes of this program together today?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Always. I told you you have an open mic.
Okay. We believe that churches, it's a ditto. We understand that, John, that when we build our doctrinal statement, we look to the explicit Word of God for our doctrine. But it's important to note that even the evidences which the pre-trib advocates cite as proof for the inference of the pre-tribulation rapture, see, they're confessing that, yes, there's not one passage out there, okay? But our supporting evidences point to the inference of the pre-trib rapture doctrine. We are challenging churches to reconsider that, because even the evidences which these who favor this position cite as proof for the inference of the pre-trib rapture are in most cases, inferences themselves. In other words, the pre-trib folks confess the idea of the pre-trib rapture is not explicitly stated in Scripture, but we go on to claim and demonstrate that the non-explicit evidences in support of this view are also poorly evidenced themselves. So we not only have no explicit scriptural support, the appeals, be they inferential or be they interpretations on particular passages, are poorly evidenced themselves. So, church, please put down the idea that the pre-trib rapture of the church is dogma, because it's not, and be open to more viable, more biblically evidenced end time position. So here's our offer to the churches. Would any Bible-believing church in this area care to talk about this topic in the context of a Christ-honoring debate? See, the early church was willing to talk over important doctrines. Are we in a Christ-like manner? I'm willing to enter into such a debate whereby an advocate of the pre-trib position, for example, can state, define, and defend that position, but where I also am allowed to do the same concerning an explicit end-time position, one which is called, now we've titled the position, for prayerful and exegetical consideration, the final trumpet rapture gathering. So we ask, any takers out there?
Did you hear that, folks? Are there any takers out there? Let me tell you, I sat in on one of these situations where John and another pastor went head-to-head on pre-trib versus your vision of this, and it was an amazing opportunity for all of us. We were students at that point, at Oregon College of Ministry when this happened.
And we did it in a very Christ-honoring way, didn't we?
Absolutely. It was marvelous. Yeah. And it was wonderful to hear both sides and be given the opportunity to then base what we had either thought beforehand or still held on to. But at least we had both views.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's important. And so I would say if there is any church out there and you want this, get a hold of Dr. John Swanson, and we'll be sure and give you that information at the end of the program. It is an excellent opportunity for your people. And he has such a heart for God's word and that it be the truth. We were taught to never read into Scripture anything that isn't there. You know, you don't put words in that aren't there. Don't make those inferences that aren't there.
And Leslie, what's a blessing to my heart is when I see the students who have gone through the Christian World class with me.
Oh, my favorite.
When they emphasize the very point of the whole class, and that is God's Word has got to be our truth foundation. And see, you modeled that this hour, because what did you start with? You actually read the Word of God and how pertinent that is today. It's not just something that the religious leaders of Jesus' day were dealing with and Jesus was confronting them over. It's an issue today where we have so many traditions, extra-biblical and sometimes non-biblical traditions in our churches. Well, we're doing the same thing. But Jesus told the religious leaders, you worship God in vain because you're doing this. We don't want to make the same mistake, Leslie. So my heart is not just because of a debate. I love to debate. No.
No.
It's because we care about the truth and truth matters.
Well, and you have a shepherding heart, and as you said, those who shepherd the flock have been placed, had people placed in their hands by God to shepherd. You do not want to lead them astray, nor do you want to be led astray. And the only way I can figure out in all my years to come through that is to be in the Word of God and test everything against the Word of God and God only. And too many people don't go there first.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
That's huge.
And the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right?
Forever settled in heaven, yes.
Yes, forever settled in heaven.
And another Psalm 119 verse, thy word is truth.
Oh, thy word is truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many times I have sung that song and never realized I was singing Scripture.
Here's another test. Uh-oh,
oh,
see, you opened
no!
the door. You had as a memory verse for the Christian Worldview class, Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100. Oh, I did it. I'm sorry. Forget that. I strike that. I didn't ask that question.
Give me a few seconds here. I'll put us on pause and I'll open up my Bible. Oh, my word. How can you remember these things?
There was a lot of insight in those very verses, Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100. It's precious. The whole psalm is beautiful.
You know, I have all of those. I have a notebook from the Christian Worldview class that I have never been able to get rid of because I do go back there. And especially when you deal with people that you're talking to, and you must listen to what they're saying so that you can then ask them the appropriate questions to cause them to think outside of what
their box.
Mm-hmm. And that values them by showing that you're listening to them. But it doesn't mean to compromise your convictions.
Right. There's a balance there.
There is a balance. And, and I see where that's a very fine line. And too many times we cross it trying, oh, well, I'll just bring them in and, you know, I'll love them into this and I'll go along with it. No, that's a very dangerous thing to do. You must speak the truth in love. And sometimes that's tough. Just as you said, this is speaking the truth in love.
My intent is not to step on the toes of my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's to do what Jesus did and speak the truth in love. And sometimes the message is hard because we have bought into traditions that are directly in opposition to his counsel for us today.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's the emphasis of the book that we've written, too, because we keep encouraging people to go back to the question, what does the scripture actually teach? What does it say?
Well, I challenge people to go out and get your book because it will truly enlighten you. Mm-hmm. It will take you out of your box and you will really have to think. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important, that you are made to think for yourself through the Word of God, right?
Yes.
So why don't you tell people about that book and where they can get it?
Well, it's titled The Final Trumpet Rapture Gathering, An Introduction.
And I have it sitting right here.
I noticed that, yeah. I've been encouraged by both theologians and pastors to, in addition to emphasizing themes, biblical themes in these end time passages, to also put together a chronological aspect of the ministry. So we've incorporated Endurance Ministries, one of the major themes in end time literature. But we also, while we continue to emphasize themes, the coaching that I'm getting from pastors and from theologians is, John, you also need to put an eschatological position out there. So that's what this book is all about. It's there's a chapter devoted to the themes because we're going to continue to emphasize the themes. Why? Not because they're future, but because they're presently pressing in on us as very important doctrines. So you can get that at Amazon.com. Just type in the Final Trumpet Rapture Gathering and Introduction, and you'll see it there. Contact me if you could at John Swanson, that's JonSwanson at MSN.com. Look on our many websites. The www.endmin.com is where you'll find the frequently asked questions, but I would encourage you to go to nmin.org. It talks about current expressions of deceptions of our day and then some. And the foundation that we jump on is from Truth Foundation. So look at that website, truthfoundations.com. Encourage you to seek us out. We'd be glad to talk to you.
You know, John, it's always such a delight and honor to have you in the studio and to be able to have these in-depth, intelligent conversations with you. But the ones that, you know, truly are relevant to our current times and our lives. And John, I want people to get a hold of you, the book. I've read it several times. I want them to get a hold of you about the $1,000 challenge. Go to that website and look that up. Yeah. And if there's a church here in this area, I would love for someone to set that up. I'd be sitting in the front pew, not the back row, but the front pew to listen again, because I think it's imperative that we keep on top of this and endure until our very last breath.
Yes.
You know, I really do. I know that in the future you're going to be back, and we're going to talk about seeker-friendly churches, and I know there's a film coming out this fall that we're going to be talking about in the near future. I think it's called A Matter of Faith.
It is, yes.
And it's by a friend of yours, and we'll be talking more about that. I want to thank you again for your willingness to travel all the way from Idaho to share your heart with us here at Heart of the Savior. And as always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson of Heart of the Savior Ministries and my very special guest and friend, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.
We thank the Lord for you, Leslie.
Oh, amen. Thank you.
Bye.